Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Romans, the 9th chapter. Paul writing, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, those of my own race, the people of Israel. This is the text. Faith is one of those things in our life that is full of traditions. For example, how beautiful is this on Christmas Eve when we go to the candlelight service and sing Silent Night a cappella? It's a tradition. It does not substitute faith, but it aids faith. There are many other traditions in the church, like the Easter early morning, the sunrise service, when Christ rose at daybreak, so do we, and we come and sing the glory of his resurrection. How beautiful a tradition that is. However, there can be an instance in which traditions will interfere with faith and even denigrate faith, even tear faith down. This is exactly what Paul is talking about. He is venting. He is frustrated with his own people of Israel. He was a Jew, and his brothers and sisters denied Christ as the Savior, Christ that came into the world as God's blessing for us in the face of the ugliness of sin. Christ, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. They rejected him because they loved their tradition more. They just could not get used to being saved by grace. As simple as that sounds, it was complicated for them to accept it. Because they had Abraham as a father. They had Abraham's blood in their veins. They were God's chosen people. And God said, if you sin, you have to pay for your sin with a sacrifice, an offering of some type. So it was impossible for most of them to accept salvation by grace. While I was pastor at Mount Calvary, I used to go to the symposium, theological conversation at the seminary in St. Louis. And every year I would organize a little campaign of non-perishable goods, food, and I would take it down in my old tired Caprice that would ride low in the back, filled with 600-700 pounds of cans of food. And then I would back up to the pantry, as it was called on the campus, and unload. And one day while I was unloading there and I was chit-chatting with the lady behind the counter, a young man comes in. He says, is this true? We can't just help ourselves to the food here without paying? And the lady said, yes, all you have to show is your student ID. And he produced it and said, here it is. Said, help yourself, take whatever you want. Don't take more than you need, but whatever you need is yours for free. You know what he said? Hey, I could get used to this. Spiritually speaking, the Jews could not get used to this. When they helped themselves to God's grace, they, in their conscience, in their tradition, were bound to this system to pay back. God's pantry is like our pantry at home. You just go in there and help yourself to whatever you want. And then you mix it up and bake it or cook it, whatever the case, and it's for free. The pantry. Paul is so frustrated that he said, I wish that I would be cut off and cursed. But that's no longer necessary, Paul, because just 20 years earlier, someone was cursed by God and cut off from God for our sake. Christ had already been cursed. Christ had already carried our sorrows and paid for our sins with his death on the cross. Venting helps. And so he is venting to the Romans. He is decrying the situation, also telling the Romans how good you have it. You accept this by faith. You accept that salvation is a gift of God. It's the work of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, given to you by grace. Last Sunday, early morning, our tired old dog, Sophie, died. Actually, I had about 2 hours of sleep by the time I walked into the narthex, and I saw the elder in charge, and I shared with him my sorrow for losing a dear friend of 12 years, albeit four-legged with a bushy tail, but always happy. And he says to me, "I hear you. It hurts, big brother." He calls me big brother because I stayed with his family almost 40 years ago when I was a student teacher here, a DCE intern. And just that word, "I know, big brother, it hurts," helped the suffering a little bit. Now I'm venting it again, so I expect a lot of return here. But you see, venting helps. Sometimes you just have to unload what is in our heart. And that's precisely what Paul says. He says, "I even wish I could die for them if that would bring salvation to them." And so Paul rattles off what all the people of Israel have been given. Theirs is the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the temple worship, promises, patriarchs, and Christ himself. That's something. God found Abraham to be a good man. And Abraham found favor in God's eyes. And God said to Abraham, "Let's make a deal. I'll be your God and you will be a people to me. Through you, I will bless all the nations on the earth." God adopted them as his people. And they saw God's glory at work at the Red Sea when it parted and they marched through, or in the column of cloud by day and the column of fire by night. That was God visible, the glory of God shining forth. They saw his glory again on Mount Sinai, when the mount shook with the power of God and they gave him the Ten Commandments. The covenant which God made with Abraham would be repeated every so often, lest the people forget. And how often does the Bible tell us, "And God remembered his love for the people, his covenant"? Whenever the Hebrew word for remember is used, it's positive. It's something good. "And God remembered their sins no more." It's positive. That's off my shoulder because the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, took it away. This is the living bread from heaven that came down. This is medicated bread, the body of our Lord that we eat, and the cup that restores eternal joy, that pays our sins, and that takes away the guilt of the original sin, that stain with which we are born. And Paul now announces to the people that they are now part of God's family. They have a child ID, just as Mackenzie received this morning. She is God's child, and she can come to God's pantry and help herself to forgiveness of sins, reassurance of God's love for the walk, restoration and built up of the hope of eternal life. All these precious gifts are hers for free because her parents brought her to the waters of baptism. That's the power of baptism. Imagine that. Baptism defeats death. This bread of which you sang in the very first hymn today, "You gave me all I wanted." This food can death destroy. Medicated food, medicated bread. You eat it and you lose death. That's the power of it. Imagine. And the Romans have all of this, Paul says. The Israelites had a temple worship. No one could worship God anywhere else but the temple. That's where you came together. And you had the assurance of God that God would listen. And that they loved more than the actual bond with God, which is direct and individual and very unique to each one of us. The promises, the patriarchs, theirs, they were children of Abraham. We have Abraham as our father, was their claim to fame. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and Solomon. Oh, that was their pride and joy. Not Jesus, who died for them. I had a brother. His name was Lotario Sander, and he was a pastor in Brazil. And the two of us were brothers until July 1st, 2004, when he, as I told his wife, skipped the line ahead of others and went to heaven first, where he is resting now. Had it not been for holy baptism, I wouldn't have a brother anymore. But because he was baptized with the same baptism I was baptized and Mackenzie was baptized, he became a child of God. And he lives forever and ever. And for that reason, I shall see my big brother again in the glory that is to be revealed. You see, in this case, water is thicker than blood. We share the blood type from our parents, but we share something that is eternal, not only earthly and temporal. For that reason, I still have a brother. Paul reassures the Romans that all of this is theirs by grace, and he reassures us. But we have even more than what was given the Israelites. We have the promises of Christ. Two promises that are precious. One, don't worry, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. He is always with us. Number two, I will go and prepare a place for you, but I will come back and take you to be with me. Until that promise is completed for each one of us, we moan and groan and we continue to proclaim the gospel at great expense, at great personal loss at times, with suffering, with moaning and groaning. It's okay. It's difficult work, but we do it, knowing that Christ is always with us. Also, we pray with St. John, the very last words of the Bible, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.